time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today's show is on outdoor etiquette. How can we help everyone have a better outdoor experience? Being a little kinder, a little more helpful, and a better steward of the earth. Isn't that what life's all about? So I'm going to share with you a couple of my favorite little tips and things about making our experiences better for the people you're with and the people that you don't know. Now, you've always heard the saying, what you pack in is what you pack out. And you know what? I know when people say they're saying preaching to the choir, and I know that many of you do this, but there are many that do not. Well, we need to make sure that in our gear, it doesn't matter what we're doing, and I'll just use hiking as this example. Well, you need to make sure that you have a trash bag with you, and you make sure that whatever it is you're packing in, packing out with children, you're just teaching them that this is the importance. Hey, and do I understand that we need to pick up for those that are less considerate? And the answer is yes. And it doesn't matter where I go, and I'll just say in any outdoor forum, whether it's fishing or hiking, I find some trash somewhere. And we know that there is less considerate people, but maybe they'll see you picking it up. And not the shaming into, maybe they just, hey, we learn through education. Maybe they'll just see you and go, oh, that is, in their minds, the right thing to do. I was actually kayaking near an inner city, going into a launch, and I don't typically kayak near inner cities, but just something that we were filming with. And I am telling you, the water currents, where the current was going up along that kayak launch, and I kid you not, the entire launch was completely covered in trash. So obviously, people upstream were doing lots of littering, and this is where it ended up. And before we could even start, our team of people, well, we got out there with huge trash bags, always have trash bags in my truck, and we just had to clean it up before we started. Well, the outdoor etiquette says, clean up after yourself. They're truly what you pack in is what you pack out. Well, guess what? Then we have a cleaner Mother Earth, and we are better stewards of the land. Now, I'm going to give you two examples about launching kayaks. And one is going to deal with the company L.L. Bean. And by the way, I think L.L. Bean as a company is a great place to shop. Now, that being said, I call the Monksville Reservoir my home court because there is 3,000 acres of water. And most times when you're out there, you only see like 10 kayakers. So there is a place for everyone to go to just to get into the wild and get away. And sometimes and I just need to get out. Just want to get out and get away. No filming cameras, no crews, nothing. Just family, friends, and sometimes just a solo kayak. That's the place I go. Well, L.L. Bean now, at the kayak launch, they actually have a trailer there, and they have about 30 kayaks. So they got all the kayaks, the paddles, the PFDs, and they just spread them out. Now, this launch area is probably wide enough for, like, say, two or three kayaks to get in and out at the same time, and most times there's not even that many. I get there one day, and all of their gear is just spread out all over. And the only way to get through is to move their kayaks to get into the water or get out. And I said to them, and I'll just call them their guide, whoever the guy in charge there for being. I said, excuse me, but is it possible you can move your gear over so people? He goes, well, is it possible you could? And he was like, he just wasn't a kind man. He was not the right man. Hopefully somebody from Bean is listening to this right now. He was not the right man for that job. And I just said, well, you know what? If there's a pathway that people can get in and out, he says, well, you guys take up. And he was just like, and he was going on. And, you know, I'm just saying being kinder out there, the outdoor etiquette that, you know, hey, that each one of us would want. And I'm going to give you the opposite example. We go down to Island Beach State Park, beautiful sand dunes. Well, there is a kayak launch, and there's this long trail you can drive down. It's a sandy trail, sandy road, whatever you want to call it. And because on the weekends there is, we'll call it kayak pressure, there's not a lot of room for trucks. So people actually will have to drive their pickup truck all the way down, you know, maybe about a quarter mile, whatever long the trail is, drop your kayaks and your gear and get your truck out of there so the next couple of trucks could get in. And I am letting you know that people are so, I'll use the word responsible. They actually make sure that they get in and out of there as quick as possible because, hey, the kayaks don't take up a lot of gear, a lot of room, but the trucks actually do. And you could see, like, well, here's the opposite of it. Now, changing gears to something else, and you've often heard this, and I'm going to share with you a story that's going to bring this one home. You always hear about, oh, you should pick up any fishing line that you find because if it blows into a tree, a bird can get caught in it. And, you know, you hear this all the time. Many of the Trout Unlimited sites, they actually leave these little PVC tubes, you know, bottom on it, but an open top that you can actually take some of your broken line, if you find some broken line, and just stick the fishing line in it, and they will recycle that out. Well, one morning, my niece Gabby and I, we're going fishing. Now, I'm going to let you know that Gabby is now, and I'm going to use the term, she is absolutely hooked on fishing because we went fishing a few times last year. Someone even asked her last year, I said, what's your favorite thing to do? And she said, fishing with Uncle Joey. So, hey, Gabby is hooked on fishing. I am hooked on Gabby. This is a great thing. So she doesn't know yet, but she just thinks every fish in the world is a bluegill. And when she catches 25 bluegills, we release them all back in there. She is the queen for the day. And we just still use hook and worm, and that's just a great way. If you're going to get somebody involved in fishing, this is the proper way to do it. Just get them in there so they're catching fish. Well, we stop at the outdoor store so we could pick up some worms. They have a pond in behind their store. And as we get there, now think about this. A great blue heron, the size of that 6-foot wingspan, the bird is hanging from a tree by one of its wings, so it's just, you know, straight down, caught in fishing line in a tree. So when you hear that wind will blow line up in a tree, the line is up there, and we know the strength that we always call the test, T-E-S-T, the test of the line, how strong it is. It was holding this great blue heron who was just stuck there, squawking away. Well, the sad thing was the tree was too thin going up and out because I still climb trees and not a problem. If I could have, I would have just scaled the tree and did what I had to do. They already had called animal rescue where I was, the Avian Wildlife Center, who I deal with, Giselle Smisco, was way too far away. Giselle's about 200 miles away from where we were fishing. So they weren't being called, but another animal rescue was coming in, and I felt bad, and the people in the store were very cognizant. One of them was, actually two of them were out there, and they were trying to calm the bird, doing what they could, and Gabby and I went fishing, and then we went back to the store after our fishing, and they said that the animal rescue was able to take care of that bird, get the bird down, did not have a broken wing, lost a feather or two, I'm sure very much afraid, but with outdoor etiquette, if we were picking up our fishing line, then that would not happen. So we're going to take care of that scenario. And you should know that this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or on one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now let's turn our minds to camping. You should only camp in approved areas. I wrote down, I'm a note taker, I wrote down regulated areas. We want to have a small footprint. So think about this. I am camping in a site and I am now done and I'm going to move off, or I'm backpacking and I'm out and I am in this approved area and I left it clean so that you now, the very next day, could come in and go into the same site. And that's why we want to have that small footprint. We just don't want sites everywhere destroying nature. Now, at these campsites, there are also fire rings. And inside those fire rings, you should only have a fire that fits inside the ring. And that doesn't mean you just get to pile up the wood into a bonfire. You know what I'm speaking about, because this is the outdoor etiquette. We want to just make sure that we're doing, again, hey, enjoying yourself out there, but not doing what's improper. And I'm going to talk to you now a little bit about forest fires for those of you that are listening to this going, well, I always have that big fire. Well, you should know that if you cause a forest fire, intentional or unintentional, right now many states will charge you for the cost of the cleanup. And if you burnt thousands of acres, sometimes that cost of the cleanup is hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars. Hey, I don't even want to see it ever happen. So let's just say, make sure that outdoor etiquette, we're putting our fire in the ring and it's small enough inside of there, and only pick up down firewood. Don't start, and you know, the rookie people are cutting, and it's illegal to do that anyway. And down firewood, dry wood burns better anyway, so you may as well do that. And here's a little helpful tip out there. If you're with children, you're setting up your campsite, you want to give children a job to do. They want to participate. Make them feel included, that they are part of the experience, and they get to see all your outdoor etiquette, and you teach them about down firewood. So let them collect it. And I'm also going to say this. At the end of the night, that morning, if you're packing out and you're going to clean up the site and you're packing out and you have extra down wood, well, could you imagine leaving that wood there for the next people? Outdoor etiquette. Oh, how nice. Well, hey, you could tweet me at Joey B Outdoors, and I always mention this, you know, maybe on this show, if you think I missed something, a piece of etiquette, well, then let me know. And, you know, you could always tweet me. It's at Joey B Outdoors, J-O-E-Y-B-E Outdoors. Now, let's learn, before you even get into the outdoors, about reading the weather. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, there are many, some of the outdoor stores, Ramsey Outdoor and et cetera, some of the outdoor stores, they actually have classes for free in the back. It might be fishermen. And if you catch one on Map and Compass or weather, I would definitely take that in. You know, Pocono Environmental Center, a place that I grew up taking some classes at, they actually have, for any age, they have classes in one on weather. Well, I'm going to let you know that reading the weather is so important. We've been filming a documentary of recent, Glow of Freedom, and in this documentary we're filming with Frank Lombardo. He's a forensic meteorologist, and Frank's been sharing some weather tips with me. And it's just for me, and I'll share with you why it's important to know by a story. I am out in the Sedge Islands. I'm with Coach Bania. We're kayak out there, and we are now, and there's a bluefish run, and the blitz is going on, and we're going bang, bang, bang. We're just catching. And those of you that know that when you're catching fish, you do not want to leave. Well, I look into the corner of the sky, and I see a speck, and I read this storm, and I go, Coach, we got to go right now. He goes, oh, no, no, because no one, remember, no one wants to leave fish. I go, Coach, right now. So we pack up our gear. We are paddling as hard as we can through all the little different islands to get back to the shore. Probably got about a half mile to go. And that storm is racing in. And we come along two kayakers, not fishing or anything, just kayaking. I said, look, got a storm coming in. You got to say, and they're going, oh, don't worry about it. I go, no, no. I said, you got to get out of here right now. And they were just like hemming and hawing. I was, oh, don't worry about it. Hey, we can get. I said, like, hey, I shared my knowledge. And that's what you do out in the wild. And Coach and I paddled as a great workout, but we paddled as hard as we could. We must have been about 100 yards, maybe 200 yards from shore, and that storm was right over our head. And I have said this often on my shows, I don't get afraid really at all, but there was a clap of thunder about 500 feet above my head. It was almost cartoon-like. I'm paddling as fast as I can, and I probably jumped straight out of the kayak about 10 feet and landed right back in the kayak, never stopped paddling in midair, and just kept going. And I am telling you, that storm was upon us. It was raging. We actually had to load the truck, all the gear. You know, again, obviously, that's why I told you about bringing towels and blankets and extra gear and all that. Well, those other two kayakers, they were out there. I shared my outdoor etiquette. I shared my knowledge. They chose not to take it. I can't force it on you, but I think it's important, number one, that you know weather, and number two, you share weather. And you always hear about there might be a fishing club, or I'm just using trail club, and they're doing a cleanup. And you don't have to be part of their group to participate in their cleanup. They're doing a cleanup, and hey, maybe you just end up fishing for the day and you see a cleanup going on. Say, hey, may I help? I don't think anyone's ever going to say, no, you may not. Of course they are. And I was speaking at a school a couple years back, and it was on Earth Day. And a student, senior in high school, raises her hand and she says, why can't every day be Earth Day? And you think about this, why can't it be? And you know, if we keep becoming better stewards of the earth all the time, every day can be Earth Day. So, hey, I learned from a senior in high school. I thought that was a really cool one. Now, next deal. If you notice that there's a rookie out there, it might be a rookie birder. Maybe it's a parent with their child or parents with their children, whatever it is, and maybe they're trying to get onto a bird and they just don't know how to use the binoculars, well, then begin to share your knowledge with them. And this story I share with you, because will also exemplify this point. At the Hawk Watch during migration, when I am up there, you have the ornithologists that are up there. Those are the real scientists counting birds. You've got birders, people just love birds, and people just are there for the experience. Well, you'll always see some rookie up there, or you'll see a rookie, and like I just explained, a child. Well, I am going to let you know that the people at the Hawk Watch will go out of their way. They will show you how to use your binoculars. They will share their, they may just have a hawk or whatever, some accipiter in their spotting scope and say, come over here and take a look. And they're teaching you about the bird, and they're also letting you get a look that you would never get with your, I'll just say, your cheaper binoculars. And they share their knowledge. At times, because I'm up there often, they share their food with me. And hey, anybody in the whole wide world wants to share your food with me, they are my friend for life. And I joke, but it's like you see them, and there's many times I might be near a dock or whatever it is. I'm finished kayaking, fishing, and you could see a father is teaching his son or daughter how to fish. And you just notice, could be by the gear, could be by their mannerisms, the way they cast. You know that they are a rookie. You just walk over. And many times I just walk over and say, hey, how you doing? First time fishing, need a little help. And I'll just sort of, just if I can help, because I've never had a parent just tell me to go away. So this is a good thing with outdoor etiquette. And I'll say, hey, you know what? Maybe this is the knot you should. And I'll start to tie the knot. And I'll do it real slow. And I do a double clinch knot, easiest one to learn. And I do it and I count and I do it out loud and nice and slow. So the dad's eyes are on the knot. I will actually tie on my favorite fishing lure that I know will get them on fish. And I say, okay, do you mind if I cast? And I'm just, and I will actually show them how to retrieve. And you're sharing a knot, a lure, your knowledge, your kindness, and this outdoor etiquette goes a long way, because then the children are seeing what a good steward of the earth is. And hey, I'm talking about me, and I'm just, by the way, I am not bragging on me, because this is many of you out there. And I think we all need to think about this sharing and giving whatever we can. That's a piece of the puzzle. Next thing, we have outside voices, we have inside voices, well, we have outdoor voices, because we always talk to little kids, oh, use your indoor voice. Well, when you're in the outdoors, this is whether you're an adult or not. If you're quiet, you see it. If you're noisy, it's gone. So we want to make sure that we're quiet so the people in our group can see it. But you also want to make sure that you're quiet so the other people in other groups, and I'll just use along the trail, whatever it is, that they see it too. And I'm going to let you know that you might also want to use your quiet voice, and as someone's coming up the trail or down the trail, share something with them. And you might just say, hey, guess what? I just saw down the trail a sow and two cubs. And you tell them in this nice little voice, and somebody might say, well, what's a sow? Because they could be rookies out there. And you tell them, oh, that's a mother bear and a cubs, and you just see their eyes light up, and you share with them, no. And this is how you approach it, and this is what you do. So the outdoor etiquette, and you're doing all this in a nice, quiet, calm voice. And with that, we'll talk about trails. Give people or groups the right of way on a trail, because some trails are not wide at all, and you might just have to stand to the side and let them pass through. Hey, and always give them a good hello. Howdy, how you doing? How's your day? See anything cool? And you just strike up a little conversation with them so they know that you are a nice person. Could you imagine that? Nice person on the trail. No way. Yes, I'm joking, but I am very serious about that. Now, I always bring extra gear in my truck. And extra gear is always this way. Someone in my group will always dress improperly. Most times it's for the cold, and I'll always have extra gloves or socks or hats, whatever it is. I have seen many of my companions get wet, fall in, wet feet, whatever it is. So I always have extra, socks. I always have extra towel and blanket in there, because I go back to the story with Coach Bain. You got out there. Well, guess what? We had to change gear and all this. But someone else could just be that they need to warm up, and you got the blanket inside there. And until the truck gets warm and you're driving away, well, you've got that blanket. It also acts as a great place to get changed underneath. And I always have a cooler with extra food, extra water, sharing my snacks with people. Hey, and sometimes we're just sitting in the back of the pickup truck. We're done for the day. Truck next to you, somebody comes in and says, hey, you need a water? And you strike up a conversation. And they may have been talking about the cool hike they went on. They went on the blue trail. You went on the red trail. So you're getting this little piece of something that I guess that they did, you didn't see, and maybe it's a trail you've never been on. So they share that with you as well. So I'm going to let you know that whether you're horseback riding and you're out there and you just got done for the day and you need to have your extra gear, always share something with someone. I explained another adventure when I'm hiking with the Maddox family and we're going up the trail. And we are, by the way, we're filming this. We're in the Rocky Mountains. We're in the Wasatch Mountain Range out in Utah, and we're filming this. And we come across a father and son, and they're riding. And we let them know that one trail is washed out, and that's a trail that they, you know, wanted to go on. So guess what? They came on trail ride with us. So, and they became friends. We just shared some information, and that's what it's all about. Now, when I am speaking at school assemblies, many times I come in, so you know that I speak at all different schools across this country. So if you're interested, you can just contact Kim on my sites, joeybeoutdoors.com or joeyb.tv. And Kim will, you know, put us together. And I always ask the schools, what are you interested in? And I've actually discussed hurricane relief, hurricane disaster. And now I just call it disaster relief. I come in and I'll speak. And I talk about my C&C principle. My C&C principle is this. It is care and compassion. Always be, have care for people. Always be compassionate. And that is always and often. And until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeyb.tv. That's joeyb.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. That was awesome.